This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
It's time to chat some bollocks about fanny tits and bum.
No topic is off limit for these potty mouth foul mums.
So tell us all your secrets, we like to share the truth.
About saggy tits and anal warts and ice cubes up your hoof.
No holes barred.
Hello.
Hello. Vic, I've got to tell you.
Oh, yes.
I painfully waited for this smoothie to be able to be whizzed, you know,
yep.
For me to be able to drink it. And I have, with great anticipation, looked forward to it.
What's happened?
I don't like it. I'm absolutely fucking gutted.
What's in your smoothie?
It's mixed frozen berries.
Yep.
Oat milk.
Mm-hmm.
Linseeds. And what's the other one?
A seed of some sort? Chia. Okay.
I don't like it.
I think you need to add some sweetness to it.
Yeah, because it's very dull.
I was going to say, do you take protein powder?
I've got protein powder, but it's plain protein powder.
Oh, plain. Well, you need to get the vanilla one that's not too sweet. Well, I can't remember what the brand is that I use, but that's what I have in my smoothie, because otherwise it tastes like Bulbex.
Yeah, it is. It's like a warm ball bag boring, in the back of the throat.
Yeah, yeah.
I have frothy as well.
I do think sometimes the mixed berries can be a bit seedy.
It's a bit much,
isn't it? And they get really stuck in your teeth.
I've literally just bought this new Ninja portable blending thing, which is fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
And you can blend it, and literally, even with the mixed berries, it will make it completely smooth.
Yeah.
But obviously with the linseed and the chia.
You've nutted up. Good.
It's way too nutty. So yeah. You know what? I think we need to talk about something that we haven't talked about on here together.
Oh, yeah.
And that is how cross and upset I am with you for telling me to watch One Day.
Oh. How cross.
I'm so upset.
Oh, my God, mate.
Oh, mate.
Have you gotten over it yet? When did you finish watching it? You did a binge, didn't you? And you watched it sort of.
So we recorded last Monday. I think I started watching it Tuesday. And I finished it. I mean, this is how bad it got. I had about 15 minutes left of the last episode. It was absolutely fucking kicking it down outside. Steve got in soaking wet because he had ridden. And I went, you're going to have to go pick the boys up from school. He had to go. Poor cunt. He literally just got in soaking wet. It's like, I'm in no state to do this. You're going to have
so
to go
funny.
And do it.
Oh, Dexter's in trouble. I can't. I'm just going to say.
So,
I was so sad.
He doesn't like... I don't necessarily find him that attractive.
Oh.
I know, I just don't. He didn't do it for me.
Oh my. Yeah. Do you know what my mum said? She was like, oh, I've watched One Day. I'm watching it again. That she's watching it for the second time. That Dexter, I creamed me knickers. That's what she said. The absolute filth bag, Trish.
Yeah, he didn't. I don't know. He was a little bit too clean cut looking for me.
Oh, I don't.
But it was their
beautiful, mate.
It was their relationship that I fell in love with.
Amazing.
Do you know why you fall in love with it? It's because it was so relatable.
The
context of their love and like how they felt about each other. The relationship, maybe not so much like the on and off over the years of that's not so relatable, because invariably it probably would have ended up that they would have got together. But the love. The devotion, that and that loss, like you just feel it because you can put yourself in that situation and feel that. It was just fucking...
It was done so well. Do you know what? When I talked about it on Instagram, I did have a lot of people being like, I thought it was shit. I didn't feel anything. I thought they were annoying and they couldn't act.
What?
Are you actually insane? Have you got eyes? I can't be friends.
I didn't think that.
No, that they are the such only good episode actors.
I couldn't fucking stand was when he went to what ended up being his ex-wife's family home.
Right. Sure.
She irritated me. She in that was very irritated.
I think
so
she was for Pacey
much.
Though, wasn't she?
Yeah.
But yeah.
You know, and you're like, what does he see in her?
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I felt.
Yeah.
Like, why is he with her? Why is he wasting
his time? She's single now.
Yeah, it was just beautiful. Such, and also like the ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, Ian.
Yeah. And how relatable that was, that he just loved her so much.
Yeah.
But she didn't feel the same way, and she wanted to, but she just didn't.
Yeah.
It was just fucking, oh,
it was
God.
So good.
It was
I thought everything about it was amazing. And I thought,
did you watch Normal People?
I watched it and I couldn't get into that.
Really? See, yeah. I felt more like Paul Mescal in that, fucking hell.
I can't, yeah, he's fit, but I think I just could, there was something about, I think maybe I found her a bit obnoxious or something. I just definitely remember starting it because everyone raved about that, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then I was just like, no, not for me. But one day, fucking sign me up, mate. I actually want to watch it again.
I do.
Rob wants to watch it too because he was so invested.
Oh,
he
watch it with me.
He was texting me like the next day after we watched it. Just, this is a disclaimer now. If you haven't watched it, stop listening because I am going to.
Oh, yes.
Totally,
oh, yeah.
Do
good. Well done,
plot.
The spoilers.
What's
yeah.
it called? Spoiler alert. He just messaged me. He was like, I can't believe Emma's dead.
I know.
I can't believe it.
I know.
He's so bereft.
Well, as a direct result of that, because I don't know why it's taken us so long, but we're now watching This Is Gonna Hurt. Which has obviously got her in it.
Yes, that's right. She's one of the doctors, isn't she? One of the she's like a newly qualified doctor.
Is, which is also a fucking brilliant programme. Absolutely
the only,
loving
my
it.
My only gripe with that, because I think that book is absolutely amazing if you haven't read it. It's Adam
Kay. This Is Gonna Hurt.
This Is Gonna Hurt. It's so funny. It's such a hilarious book, really well written. I just thought that the depiction of birth was really negative, and it gave, I think if you were like pregnant or you were a first time mum and you watched that, I think it would make you be even more terrified of giving birth.
Yeah, true.
Which is unnecessary because this is the thing too. My midwife friend always said this. She said doctors in, you know, antenatal wards or whatever, maternity wards, they have a very different experience of birth than the midwives, because the midwives see like the more, and I say this in quotes, whatever those things are called, what are they called? Brackets? I don't
fingers.
Know. Fingers.
Bunny rabbit ears.
Normal. And I don't mean that any birth is like abnormal or normal, but just more sort of like, yeah, it's not.
They see the
right
whole
word.
Experience from start to finish, whereas the doctors don't so
they
much,
always
do
come
they?
In at, they come in at a point of emergency or when there's like something dangerous is happening or whatever. And so they only ever see that version of birth. So I think a midwife and a doctor would have a very different experience and opinion of birth. Yeah. So you're only really seeing it from that doctor's perspective, but the main guy's really amazing actor.
Fucking brilliant.
Really
it's
funny.
It's more like his journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're like third episode, second episode, I can't remember which one, but yeah. So we watched that because of Emma.
Right. The bit for me for Dexter when I was just like, I'm so in love with you, was when he was walking through the streets of Rome and he had like, oh God, he had like the linen shirt on and he was smoking a cigarette and he was like, fuck man, I love. I just wanted to be like the same age as him in that time. But like, so I did an Instagram post about it just saying, how the fuck did she not shag him, basically? Because there's no way that I could have sustained 20 years of friendship and not have ridden his penis at least 400
but that's
times.
Yeah, that's the reality of it. The likelihood of that being a real life situation is pretty unrealistic.
Well,
isn't
then someone's like, yes, but it's about the social economic disparity between the two of them, her coming from a working class background and not feeling good enough. I was like, yeah, but have you seen his face, mate? I'll be like, yeah, I don't care if I'm working class. Fucking let me sit on your face, sweetheart.
Yeah, I wouldn't give a shit whether he came from money or not. I still want to fuck him.
So fit.
No, yeah, he didn't do it for me. He really didn't do it for me.
Can't believe this.
I know. I was really shocked as well because
he's quite pretty, I suppose. Like he's quite, yeah.
And I'm not the biggest fan of pretty
boys.
No,
but never mind. But there's just something about him that's so charismatic and just so like.
I fell in love with him.
He's flawed too, you know, like big time. But I just,
But I fell in love with him for his love for her.
Yeah. The way
I mean, there were
points
where I was so angry at him.
Like, as an actor, how do you do that? How you must have to have an element of that chemistry, right?
Well, yeah, because you hear of it where they do fall in love on set. You know, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie is a perfect example. I think it must be so difficult. I know that it must take either some form of like training to be able to enter into that and not fall in love.
Yeah.
Because you're having to believe a role enough. Like, how the fuck do you separate the two?
Yeah, no, I couldn't.
No, I mean, neither could I.
You would be terrible at it.
I would be awful. Terrible. I mean, I'm obviously, I'm getting better. My boundaries are fucking brilliant. And it, hey, the hairdresser guy the other day.
Yeah,
prime example.
Yeah.
Not interested. I don't even give a shit. Fuck off. But also, absolutely not a chance in hell if a good-looking guy and me had to pretend to be in love. I'd be like, sorry, Steve. While I had his dick in my mouth, I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, Steve. Look the other way.
Yeah, I could do it. That's what you think.
But you know
like.
What? I know I've said it a million times over. My biggest downfall, and it will almost blur the lines of what I find attractive, is a nice body.
Yeah.
I can't help
shallow.
It.
I mean, obviously,
I am really shallow.
An amazing body, didn't he?
Who?
Dexter.
Yeah, he did, yeah. It was nice. I don't know. I think maybe he looked too young for me. Maybe that's what it was. But then Paul Mescal's young. Paul Mescal's different. He was a little bit more rugged. I think that's what it was.
He is a little bit more rugged, yeah.
A little bit more rugged. But yeah, I'm just so shallow when it comes to like muscular physique.
That's what I mean. That's what, I just would not have been able to resist it. We were like, hello.
Yeah, no, it's same.
Especially the one
where
they go on holiday.
Like
when if we went if I went
not
on holiday with my male friend, fucking hell, I'm leaving with cystitis.
Yeah.
Because there's something also about being on holiday
when
it's so sexy,
it.
Isn't it? The heat, everything. Oh, I love it.
But that's the other part of it that makes it so unrealistic. Is in real life, there is not a chance.
Although I did
have
someone message me and say that she had a situation like that, and she said it was just like this, and they still weren't together now. But she divorced from her husband, and he was like married with kids and whatever. But she was like, I just think about him all the time. I think about him every day. I was
God.
Like, can we care? Just go and ruin his marriage and get
marriage.
Together with him.
Yeah. it's fantasy and love, isn't it?
Mm.
And we're all hopeless romantics.
I guess it's the question then, is there, I mean, as if we could even answer this, honestly, is there anyone you pass that you're like, oh, if only... No, because you're married to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your face. You know, you're like, God, no.
Yeah, same for me.
If anything, I'm like, if only I hadn't.
Yeah, the first time round. Yeah.
Yeah. No, not really. I think that if I was single now, I would probably say that a lot because I don't really know that I would chase commitment. I think I'd probably just want fun.
You were Dexter.
Hey?
You were Dexter.
It wouldn't be me with Dexter. Yeah, I would be Dexter.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want the commitment, and then I'd make lots of mistakes.
The other thing that it left me feeling as well was like a yearning for youth, a real yearning.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? To be like just so young and carefree and not have any responsibilities, and that whole
you really went on that journey with them, didn't you,
mate? And just the excitement of like the prospects that are laid out ahead of you that you don't know, but like there was just something very optimistic and youthful about it. And the soundtrack was amazing, and it was like,
oh my God, it was brilliant.
Every song that came on, you're like, yes, Rom.
Who's Rom?
Rob was shazamming away, mate. Every time. Oh, it's a blinder. Shazam it. Mate, him and
Does
Shazam.
Does he know that their soundtrack will just be on Spotify?
Yes. Laura, sometimes a song comes on that is like the most known song in the history of all songs. But like Al Green came on the other day, you know, Let's Get Together, that one.
Let's
Everyone knows that. Everyone on this universe, he shazammed it. And it just made me really irrationally angry because I was like, why are you shazamming Al Green? You know who Al Green is. And the first thing, this is when we were out for lunch and there was a massive speaker next to us and they just kept playing like soul classics, basically. But every single one you knew and you were like singing along. And we were all chatting and then he'd just stand up and put the phone to the microphone, to the speaker, like when we're in the middle of a conversation. But sometimes, mate, you just have no idea about how to behave in a social setting.
He do you not also find it's just long-term relationships? You lose the ability to just normally function.
Yeah,
just
definitely.
Think normally, because I don't have to even remotely think about impressing you. Like, no. So I'm just going to act as weird as I normally am.
My true self.
Yeah, my true self is going to come out and I don't care. Like, Rob was truly... Dear. Living his best life in that moment. Yeah, I don't need to just, actually impress Victoria.
I want to say, I'm like, have you ever once gone back to your Shazam list and actually listened to any of those songs? No, because you already know them. You absolute plonker. What was I saying about it making me like, oh, it just makes me
sad. I know, but that's because because that's the thing. Like, we chase the fantasy, and the reality is that fantasy can only last so long.
Yeah, and the reality is that your partner ends up standing up in the middle of a pub with his phone to the speaker.
Yeah.
And you think, what have I done?
Yeah, but I think that's what Steve thinks about being married to me.
Yeah, maybe.
A lot. Like, what did I do?
Oh, what? Do you know what? Oh, my... Yeah, that, so it was after watching that I woke up kissing Rob.
Oh, of course. Yeah, it didn't do any of that to me.
I mean, obviously, I wasn't thinking about Rob. I was thinking about Dexter.
No. Yeah, he hasn't...
Don't open my eyes and then I can imagine that it's actually him.
But, like, the whole youth thing, I really, like, I felt that on such a big scale, like what you said. It was like, Jesus Christ, how they managed to captivate that moment of youth in all of us, like of remembering what it was like to be actually just so young and carefree and believing that the world was our oyster and actually just kind of like muddling through life. And I wouldn't want to go back to it because it's such a hideous past.
No,
I think.
No, but it's easy to romanticize the past. Isn't it
is, yeah, of course it is, because there's just so much hurt and anguish and like horrific learning curves in your early 20s and late teens, isn't
there? Yeah, and that's what that show encapsulated.
Yeah. But yeah, oh, it was. So and like good. The way that he like, how he carried his mum up the stairs.
I know.
And,
oh, God.
Like, that was heartbreaking.
Have you noticed that since your dad's died, that nearly every single fucking programme that you watch has some element of death in it?
Yeah.
Isn't it true?
Yeah. But I don't know if that's just because you're more aware of it.
I think so, yeah. But it's like, it just seems like every programme I watch, I'm like, oh, great.
Someone else is dead.
Someone else is dying.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally get that. Completely.
Yeah, I cried I just cried so much in that episode with a poorly mum.
Yeah, it was really sad.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing.
Dead parents, eh? Who'd have them?
Who'd have them?
Because they're gone.
Should I tell you something that I've been doing recently?
Go on.
I've been making sourdough bread.
So, this is interesting because it's mental. That Steve and I were literally talking about getting, and I Googled a sourdough starter, and then lo and behold, you fucking started
Here
it.
Here we go.
I saw it on your story, so I was like, fucking hell.
What is happening?
What are we doing with our lives?
This is where we've got. I feel like, you know.
I was put off by the sheer amount of work it seemed to
have. I'm telling you now, mate, that it is I think once you've grasped it, which I haven't yet, I'm in the process of grasping it. It's such a process because it is fermented. So it's essentially fermented bread, isn't it? So you've got to ferment the starter. It is a long, but then I baked it and I thought this is going to be shit because it's taken me so long to do this. And of course it's going to be disaster. It was absolutely delicious. It was the nicest bread I've ever eaten. I think maybe because I made it as well. So
you know,
in my head,
you look at that fucking ballerina farm on TikTok with her 12 kids and you think, how the fuck do you do all that? She makes her own butter. She makes her own cream.
She's a millionaire. That's why, mate. She doesn't have to do anything else, does she?
God, I wish I was a millionaire. I make sourdough at all.
I think I'd do it. We'd do it twice and then we'd be like, this is boring.
I'll get someone else to do it.
I'll just buy it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this. But I did like the, because it's a different type of kneading. It's not like kneading like the normal bread. You just sort of fold and put it. It's really weird.
I'm just shit at making bread.
I liked the process. I found it really absorbing. And I think now that I don't drink, like, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I need little moments of excitement. And there was something kind of there was like anticipation and a little bit of a thrill getting out the door and being like, oh my God, it's written. Oh my God, look at this. Like, there was just something that was kind of, it felt rewarding. And then baking it, and it was so nice. Like, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to do it again. So I've got the next loaf on the go now.
Yeah, of course she has.
Well, I look at her go. Look I'm at so her confused go. About the starter. I just...
That's the bit that... Because I read it. I read and I was like, oh, I'm struggling
you've got to look
to
after
be
it.
Here.
You've got to, like, feed it. It's
you've got to feed it and then put it in the fridge for it to go dormant. And then once you take it out of the fridge, you've got to wait for it to reactivate. And then you've got to feed it. You know, and you're like, oh, God, that seems like a lot.
So I do have a cafe very close to me where the woman bakes sourdough. That's, like, part of the thing. So she does, there's fresh sourdough there every day. And it's, like, a nice bit. It's £5 a loaf.
Yeah, see, and you do it for pence.
Yeah, so but she sells her starter. So you can buy her starter and it's only £1 or £1.50, I think it was. And she gave me, like, she probably gave me about 500 grams of it, which would be, like, two loaves or whatever. And... you don't have to do anything to it because she's had that starter for 10 years. And Rob was like, what do you mean she's had it for 10 years? Because it's the way, he's like, that doesn't make any sense to me. And I was like, no, but the
thing
is,
Oliver are literally the same person.
No, because it's like you take out of it and then you put back into it and then you take out of it. So
what
I said,
it's
a constant evolving process. It's not just some yeasty bit of flour that's sat there for 10 years.
Right.
It's alive.
It is alive.
So I used hers and... I do think that that was probably a big part of its success. Do you know what I mean?
No, the success was just that you are a sourdough making slag now.
Well, that's it. I'm fucking here for it. But we did eat the loaf in one day.
That's the only problem with stuff like that. It doesn't keep.
Well, no, because I'm a fat cunt, mate, and I just ate the whole lot. It wasn't anything to do with it going off. It was that I was like, oh my God, this is so delicious. Oh my God. Well, I put so toasted with so much butter on it and then loads of Nutella. Ecstasy, that was. I mean, look, I don't drink. I have to get my thrill somewhere, don't I?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I am obviously, I'm in the same place. I don't drink, but I also can't have things that are too fatty. So I'm a real boring cunt. Because
but the
all
bread
that
itself,
butter, I would have been in a world of shit.
Oh, yeah, I forget about that. Well, you could put something else on it, but you'd appreciate the bread. But it doesn't last. I think you've got like maybe 2-3 days maximum. But
I think
really,
even then,
unless
you're
toasting
it, it's fucking grim the next day.
It wasn't though, because honestly, compared to even the one that I bought in the cafe, sorry for this, to the chef who made it, mine was softer. It was like less, and the crust. I probably did it wrong in some way, but actually, it was nicer because you know, like sometimes sourdough crust is about 8 centimeters. Fucking,
yeah, and
it's just like
it's great your fucking teeth on it.
It wasn't like that. It was a very thin crust, which I'm here for. So I'm gonna, I'm very excited.
I just don't. I don't know how we ever got to this place.
Someone messaged me and they said they saw a woman actually made her sourdough starter with her own yeast, with her own minge yeast.
That's a lie.
Apparently,
that's got to be a lie.
But all you'd have to do is just put some discharge in it. I don't even. You wouldn't even notice because it's part of the texture of discharge anyway. When you're ovulating, that's what your starter should look like. It's really gooey.
You'd literally just be pulling it out and flopping it in.
Pop it into the old mixing bowl there.
But, you know, I'm really all for just doing your own thing. But sometimes,
but
you know,
no,
you think,
dirty.
Just fucking have a word.
I know, mate.
Have
Who
a
wants
day
to
off
eat
from
it?
Being a complete and utter fucking knob.
It's like the thing, I'm sure we mentioned this before, when people are using their period blood as a face mask.
Yeah,
like,
just
no,
stop.
Go to Boots and just get a 99p one. Come on. It's not necessary.
You know, like, it's just, oh, it's just so great for you. You know, you're just like, you know what's great for me? Not watching you do that. So if you're going to do it, that's fine. It's a little bit like when people go out into the streets and fucking help homeless people and record the whole fucking process. It's the same thing. Like those stupid bollocks things. You know, like all it is attention seeking.
Yeah, exactly.
Pack it in.
Back it
we're all attention seeking. Me and you, we're attention seeking. Of course we are, because we've got massive profiles. That's exactly
what
we do.
Yeah, but we do it in a funny way.
But I'm not yanking down my fucking knickers, fingering myself, and then putting it all over my face or in
bread. That's on your OnlyFans page.
Yeah, still to come.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I've actually got a story that might feel a bit relevant to periods.
Oh, yeah,
really,
go
I
on
guess.
Then.
I ain't read it though, mate.
Okay,
I know
that's,
every
that's
time I
good.
say I'm going to read
Don't
it,
worry.
so I'm not going to. So here is my most humiliating story from my 40 years of life.
Lovely.
I decided to do a bit for the environment and bought a moon cup. The
Ooh,
environmentally friendly menstrual cup. Well, we're for that, aren't we?
Yeah,
we're all
we've
for
got
them.
one.
Although now that I've got the coil in, I'm not allowed to use one anymore.
Oh, because it might be pierced by your prong.
Because it might actually pull the coil out.
Of course, because it's suction.
Yeah, which I'm not here for. I don't want that to happen. So anyway, once inserted for the first time, you trim the stalk to the right depth to your vag and then off you go. I didn't do that, did you? I didn't trim mine.
No.
My stalk stayed the same length.
Yeah. Where's the stalk part of it? Where
you
pull
know,
it out?
You know, the pulley bit.
Mine's, yeah, okay.
Mine was like relatively...
It was ample. I didn't need to. It was fine. Yeah.
Oh God, poor bitch. Anyway, felt okay, quite comfy. I was happy. A few hours later, I went to empty it, but it was stuck. I bent myself over like a pretzel, tried many different positions with my leg higher than I'd ever seen before, but alas, no shifting. I tried to remain calm, just left it, thinking I would try again later, but still no luck. I must add at this point, my husband was horrified at the very idea of helping me remove it, as it was so far up my chuff that it couldn't even be seen by the day of light. Nearly 12 hours I gave in, took myself into the walk-in centre, quietly tried to explain the problem to the receptionist. She was quite discreet, and I think only half the waiting room heard her repeat my problem. I got called to the doctor's office by a nurse who asked me to hop on the bed. Oh, and did I mind the student coming in? And did I mind the student coming in, as this would be good for her to see? They both had a good rummage for a while, but neither of them could get it. So they needed to call the doctor to have a look. So I went outside and waited for the middle-aged female doctor, called her next three patients in, thinking surely I'm next. Then my name was called by a young, good-looking male doctor. I was horrified. He was young enough to be my prepubescent son. Again, I had to repeat my problem, and surprise, surprise, he didn't have a clue what I was talking about. So I had to Google a moon cup.
Oh my God, come on.
I know. Such fun chatting with him whilst he was looking at images of the offending item on the screen. Then I had to remove my knickers, hop up on the bed. I thought you lost all your dignity with children, but no, this was rock bottom for me. After much rummaging and use of strange tools, I heard the most humiliating squelching sound coming with a loud pop, and the moon cup was finally popped out to greet us.
Oh my God.
Imagine for yourselves the sight of a moon cup that has spent 14 hours up your menstruating vag. The dishy doctor said, asked if I would like to take the item home. Sadly, no, doing my bit for the environment was not for me anymore. So I told him to keep it and remind him of the day.
Oh my God. Fucking hell though. Like that I don't want to be thinking about that when I'm putting a moon cup up me. Cause I just, it's never been stuck. I've never even had a moment of being like, oh shit,
no,
I can't get this out.
I have a very deep cavern.
Maybe, or it's more about the suction, isn't it? It must have just, it's like when you do cupping, right? So if you put it on at the wrong angle, your cervix starts to swell up inside of it and then you can't remove it. I mean, what did he even, because you'd need to get air in to puncture the seal. So how the hell did he do it?
I've just never been in that situation to even know, like, how it goes that so vastly wrong.
It's all about the suction, mate. Unless maybe it was like the wrong size.
And you know that squelch noise
small.
As well.
Yeah.
You know
it
exactly
been
what.
Absolutely horrific.
It's horrendous. So yeah. I remember when I had to go to the gynecologist last year, because of the fact that I've got something called a Rectosil, thanks to childbirth. And she gave me this thing, which I don't fucking use, can't use it anymore anyway. And it's to put up your vagina during certain times of the month. And I remember her saying, I'm going to put it in and then I need you, like, we're just going to 10 minutes, have a walk around, come back in, and then I'm going to need you to be able to remove it just to make sure you can. And the fucking, I was the other side of the curtain and the fucking noise as I got hold of it And the squelching that, and I just thought, oh my God, she's on the other side of the fucking curtain. And to anyone who's been to my stand-up show, it is also the same fucking gynecologist that I basically stared down while she fingered me.
Yeah.
It was just like, I want to die a million times fucking over. And I was like, yeah, yeah, no, we're good. I can get that out. I just thought there is no way. She went, have you managed to take it all the way out and put it back in? And yeah, yeah, that's not a problem. I was like, I'm not being part of this anymore. I'm out. Emotionally, I can't survive another second of this fucking ordeal. Because the squelch,
it's offensive, isn't it?
You never hear it in like 50 Shades of Grey, do you?
No, I know, that's just really noise. Unrealistic that you don't hear that. A little queef here or there, especially some of the positions that she gets into.
And I just think that's so disconcerting for a female, because then you make those noises and you're like, shit, am
Is
I
that
broken?
Abnormal? Yeah,
like, no.
But generally, any sex scenes really annoy me in any TV show because they're just not real. Like, there's never any proper foreplay. It always just gets straight to the penetration. Yeah. And you're like, that is
I
not.
I think the only time
no
that they've ever really
that.
Truly depicted, I'm going to go back to it, I think was Normal People. I think they did a really good
was
job.
It good?
I think they did a really good job of just debunking sex.
Yeah.
And what sex actually looks like, and not
I want to watch
romanticizing
it
the idea of it. It was very normal.
Yeah.
You know?
Normal people.
Normal
people having normal sex.
Yeah, I think you should give Normal People another
go.
Yeah,
we'll give it another go.
Fucking hell, you will absolutely foam at the gash with Paul Baskin.
Oh, hello. I'm menstruating. No, I'm not menstruating. The other one. I'm ovulating.
I am menstruating.
I need to
watch menstruate for 12 fucking days. Let's coil up my chuff.
Yeah, you will have a heavier period, will you?
Well, it would seem that's what's happening.
And so when they put it in, though, because you were about to, like, have a period, did it, like, set the period off?
Or well, I was due, anyway? Like, anyway, so now I don't really know that would have been the case.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm definitely having more of a period this month than I've ever had. Well, I've had in a long time. So, yeah, I guess it does. But then she said about the fact that you'll bleed all over the place anyway until it settles down.
Okay.
And then that'll be it. Hey, presto, no more period.
But for sure, like definitely no more periods or maybe just really light ones.
She said if you'll have anything, it'll be very light. But ultimately what we're looking for is nothing.
All right, amazing.
I know, fucking great.
Fucking great, a lot.
Never got to worry
baby.
About, oh shit, I can't go swimming. Or, you know, it's ridiculous. Like, where my periods used to be like clockwork, I used to plan my holidays around them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you've always done that, haven't you?
Yeah, I can't fucking do that no more. I don't need to. I am foot loose and period free.
Oh, I love that. Right, shall I find us a little story?
Oh, well, you know what? While you're... doing that, can we just have a discussion about the fact that we were meant to be doing a back-to-back record today?
Yeah, I know.
I got
it's not
a phone
happening.
Call from Elliot's fucking school. His shoes are broken. Steve's taking the fucking car to work, so this cunt had to walk 5 miles.
That's a lot.
Yeah, 5 fucking miles to go bloody drop it off to him and then back.
But he's all right now. He's got the, you know, and also, yeah. Like I said, you got your steps in today, good and proper, mate.
Oh, yeah, I did. Brought the fucking dogs with me. One of the dog's leads broke. You know, and you're like, are you having a, is this a fucking
joke?
Is this
joke?
Where's Jeremy Beadle in this situation? He's really about to pop out of a
well,
bush.
He's dead.
He is dead. That would be worse, wouldn't it? It would make my day even more difficult.
Do you have a pedometer?
No.
Do you want one? Do you like it? Are you up for it?
Are you trying to send me one?
No, I'm not, but I absolutely fucking love mine. I'm so obsessed with my step count.
Are you into it? No.
That's how I behave when I try to entice Robin to a new sex act. Do you want one? Do you like it? Should we get one? I'm so obsessed with my fucking steps, mate.
No, I'm not. I'm more obsessed with, like, how many times I can go to the gym than I am how many steps I can do.
Well, I do that too, though, don't I? Because I do work out. Oh, I did
yeah,
something
you're,
very...
You're a worker out, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been pretty good, actually, recently. I've been doing, like, minimum 3 times a week, often 4 times. But I'm getting so much stronger now because of the old weightlifting. I've got, like, a 10 kg dumbbell.
Oh, well done.
I managed to bring it up to my shoulder here. And then do a shoulder press like that.
Look at you.
Oh, my God, I couldn't believe it. I was so impressed by myself that I had to show Rob.
Did he give
us
that?
I was like, Rob, oh, come and look at this. Look what I can do. He did actually. He's really sweet and he's always really encouraging. Oh. Whenever I'm working out, like the kids are around and stuff, and I'll be doing something with the weights, he'll be like, kids, look at how strong mummy is.
Oh.
Like, just like that, which I think is nice. And like,
it's important. Yeah.
And trying to frame exercise as something for your mental health above all else when we're, when we talk.
That's how we've done it with the boys, because obviously we're both big gym goers now.
Yeah.
But I can honestly say, my PT, Shakira, she has been fucking brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good
they
to have
know
someone
their shit,
that.
Don't they?
That's what I was going to say, yeah. And to give you a bit of guidance.
I did call her a cunt last week, though. But
that's all right. Did she make you do something you didn't want to do?
Yeah, well, she got me to just do an extra 10. She's like, you can do an extra 10. I was like, you can! I got to the end. I mean, I'm really sorry I didn't mean to call you that. I kind of did. But
I think that swearing when you're exercising really helps.
Yeah.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So let's have a look. Oh, okay. So this is a little bit of a tidy up time from one of the podcasts when we were talking to the dominatrix. So quite a while ago, this is from last April. But we were asking about being suspended from the ceiling and the logistics of it. So that's what this woman that's written in, she has that done to her. Hello.
By her skin.
Well, I'll explain.
Oh, Lord.
I have a special friend and he custom made a ceiling hook for my bedroom that is drilled through a support beam in the loft above. He then made a support beam that is hung from the hook in my room. When not in use, it has a fake hanging basket on it. I don't know why that makes me laugh. You're just trying to like...
A random hanging basket in the middle of your room.
No, she has put it. Not sure who the fuck is kidding. It's blatantly an industrial ceiling hook.
Oh my God.
The support beam is attached with a riggers setup. This is so intense. So like you would use to rock climb, winch, carabiners, etc. I think I said that wrong. Carabiners?
Well, it's a certain...
It's like climbing.
Oh, that's what you get in the Caribbean.
It's a certain type of thing. Yeah, it's climbing lingo of like a piece of equipment. But I think I said it wrong. I don't know.
Rope.
Mm. I did briefly date a guy who absolutely loved climbing. And when he told me that, you know, I was like, oh, God, I really don't fancy anymore. The support beam is attached with a rigger setup, I said all that. And then I am then tied and suspended from that. It can be lifted higher or lower with the winch, and it has different hooks along to attach straps, rope, lever harnesses, collars, etc.
Okay.
I love being restrained, being tied up and suspended in the air, or completely upside down and unable to move or support myself. Wow.
Oh,
it's a level of trust. Okay, it's a level of trust I have no one else. I know, I would die. Steve. I couldn't do that. Mate, I had a hot bath yesterday and I could feel the blood pulsing in my head and it was freaking me out. I thought I was going to have a heart attack.
But if I had to rely on Steve to hook me up by my feet,
that's it. Absolutely. No, I literally trust him not to drop me on my head or break something, and it's fun. Sometimes I'm serious and other times I just laugh hysterically, but it takes me away from making decisions and takes me out of my head. At my request, he also made me my own wooden stocks clamped around my neck and wrist, which can be attached to the ceiling hook. So I don't hang from that, but I'm restrained and again cannot move. I'm so wrapped up in my own head on a daily basis, running my life, my kids, my degree, that for a couple of hours a week, when he comes over, I'm taken away from it all, tied up, thrown around like a rag doll, and receive orgasm after orgasm from the contents of my special sex suitcase. And it's just so blissful. Anyway, just wanted to try and give you a mental picture. Lots of love. That's
as long
intense,
as I thought it was like by the skin, because that cope with that. That's bad. Obviously, I know someone who's had it done. Just doesn't. It's not
by
done
the
that.
Skin, really.
Not for me. Yeah, he was suspended from the ceiling and swung by hooks in his shoulder.
I couldn't do that.
No, he said after the initial second of like the, it's a meat hook basically going through you. You don't feel anything after that. I was like, I'm out. So it's just euphoric. I'm out.
Euphoric? Are you having a laugh, mate? I'll tell you what's euphoric, being on a fucking desert island with a flipping cocktail and Dexter waving me with a fan.
Paul Maskell.
That's euphoric. Not being slung up by a meat
hook. That's different. But I would not trust Steve to fucking descend me from the fucking ceiling without killing me.
I would be worried that something, like either the ceiling was going to just fall in. Can you imagine that?
I wouldn't also be able to rely on Steve to be able to fucking do it properly. He can't even drill a hole in the wall without fucking that up.
Oh, yeah. I reckon Rob could actually set me up with something pretty substantial if we were into it.
I mean, the wooden stuff. You do, though. I mean, stocks around your neck and fucking neck around.
He's dyspraxic, so he doesn't even like fucking going on a trampoline. So I don't think he'd be any good being suspended in the air.
He doesn't even like going on a trampoline.
He doesn't. I think I in my head, I'm like, yeah, I reckon I'd be all right with that. But I think in reality, I'd just freak out. I would freak out so much.
I had a bath. It was too hot. You said that was fucking heart attack.
Honestly, my pulse was beating so hard my temples. It was a lot. It was too much. It was really nice. Oh no, mate, I'm so sensitive to life. But you know, do you ever have like a Sunday after? I think Sunday afternoon bath is.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's the best, isn't it?
And yesterday felt very Sunday-esque.
Yeah, because it got dark really early for some reason. Yeah, so I think really I don't know what's weather. Going on. Global
we
warming
didn't leave
or something.
The house, Steve. Steve went to the shops, but I didn't leave the house. The kids, we just stayed at home all day. It was lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, we've, I think we've what gone you would to the consider pub,
bloody
come back.
Bliss.
Blood, that's new for it, baby.
Yeah, there you go. There's what I like. That's my limit.
Oh, I do wonder if I'd be up for that. I don't know. Maybe. I just wouldn't want to put it in my own house because I'm also like quite interior conscious.
Yeah. I mean, a random hanging basket like, from your central ceiling.
Have you got an antique brass? Burnished meat hook that I can hang off, please, that will fit in with my general interior aesthetic. Because a hanging basket could work, I suppose. I'm just looking now because I'm in my bedroom. Maybe a nice hanging plant.
Wait, are you into that? Would you potentially be into it being hung
never
upside
thought about
down?
It, mate.
No, like, I haven't. No. It's never really... I mean, I've been into some weird shit, but never
Yeah,
that.
A bit of restraint is fine, but stocks and...
Done properly.
That's a lot, isn't it? Stocks. That just reminds me of like the medieval times of
a
people throwing
is,
cabbages
I don't know, is that
at you.
A shame thing?
It is.
It's a shame.
Shame. Or that's what it was. It was public humiliation, wasn't it?
Yeah, but obviously she's not being publicly humiliated.
No.
She's just wanting to, maybe she's not in her head because generally speaking, she's thinking, I really don't want to fall.
Maybe.
Maybe that's why.
I get the whole thing of like definitely wanting someone else to take control.
Oh mate, absolutely.
Because it's the same thing.
The biggest fantasy for me is not Steve, but then I think it's healthy. It's healthy to say
not
that.
Steve.
Well, it's only because I know when I think of Steve, it's then like his. It's our. We would take the piss, and it just wouldn't end up being a fantasy.
Yeah,
but it would just be someone walking in and just completely and utterly fucking taking control.
Yeah, that
and that's why
great.
It wouldn't be Steve, mate, because he can't even can take control of the fucking laundry.
Well, I also wouldn't listen to Rob. I'd be like,
no, that's the
up.
Other thing. If he were to try and grab me, I'd be like, fuck off. What are you doing, you dick?
Exactly.
Not in the fucking mood. Whereas if it was someone completely random that probably had muscles, I would love it. They could be ugly.
Yeah.
I don't really care. If they've got muscles, I think I can overlook it. It's really shallow, isn't it? It's terrible. Are you not like that?
No.
Oh,
really?
God.
I mean, I
what's your downfall then? What's your thing of like, oh my God, a sense of humour as well.
Yeah,
they've got a sense of humour and they've got a good body. Oh
musical.
My Lord.
Yeah, mine's musical.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, if you like started, I don't know, playing the guitar or something, that's it. My minge is yours. Yeah, I'll be like, there's only been like one ex, even fling sexy stuff that hasn't played the guitar. Everyone else has played the guitar.
Yeah, musical as well. That would be an issue for me. So if they were funny, musical, and then had a good body, oh my God, Steve.
But
I
then
would
sometimes none of those things have applied, and I've still had amazing sex with them. So it's hard to tell, isn't it? It's just chemistry is just there,
it's
isn't
chemistry,
it?
Yeah. Sometimes if it's there, it's there. If it's not, it's not.
Yeah. And
I mean,
even
I know that's a basic response, but that's
the
how
oddest
I see it.
Person.
Because sometimes it doesn't make any sense.
I
can really resonate to that. Just that. That, like, I don't know. It's like connection, isn't it? When you just connect with someone and you're like, it doesn't even make any fucking sense.
No, but it doesn't even need to be, and not even an emotional connection. It's just a very
physical,
visceral, like, kind of connections, that, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think if anyone were to be honest, they would say that they felt that at least once in their life with somebody, that they've just connected with someone on a really deep level.
Yeah. And I think that was the thing that one day made me feel like a bit sad about that. You would never have that experience again of like the butterflies and the meat.
After one day?
Yeah, after one day.
Absolutely. And that's then over.
It's over. And it felt a bit like, oh God. Do I want it again? But like, because it's such an amazing feeling at the time, isn't it?
It is, but also it comes with like that bit so short lived and the rest of it's really sad.
Just talk to me 2 weeks later when I'm having an affair.
That's all right, we've both been through it at different points.
I think now the logistics of meeting someone is like so slim now, because I don't go outside my house really, so I wouldn't really meet anyone anyway. I'm just saying.
I'm not. Both of us are obviously online. We're not online in that sense. So like meeting somebody online would be zero. It would. I think that's why work affairs happen, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I spoke to Steve and I chatting about it at the weekend. I said, you know, you can see how work affairs happen because you spend so much of your time there, you strike up a connection and then that connection builds into something. And actually it's like you say, is that relationship based or is it just like, oh my God, this feels really fun and exciting and different. And then that's what you're drawn in by. And then like your brain just kind of gets confused by the two.
Yeah, exactly.
But normalise it, like it fucking happens. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and also like, you know, I do think when you're in a long-term relationship, you do meet people that you're attracted to. That's an absolute... Yeah. I've been flicking my bean to Dexter and he's not even real.
He's only 27 in real life, mate. He's well too young.
But now, this is where I'm at this point now with like, just thinking about, because I've always gone for older men generally.
Yeah.
But now I'm old. So...
I'm still prefer older men.
Am
I'm still there.
Flip the coin?
Yeah, I'm still like massively put off by someone that looks very young.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, there's obviously, but then I'm thinking stamina, enthusiasm. Yeah. But then equally, would you, like with the whole someone wanting to take control, would you really want like a younger man to take control of you?
No,
absolutely not. I'd be like,
no, it would need to be someone my age or older.
Yeah.
I'm not talking 65. I'm not looking for my dad.
No.
I don't have daddy issues in that sense, but just someone that little bit older. I've never, ever been attracted to men younger than me other than Harry Styles. That's it. Yeah. He's the exception to all rules.
No, I mean, obviously, Dexter B's not real. But just in life, I've never been attracted to younger men at all.
No, they just do nothing for me.
Yeah.
Nothing. I'm really not interested in someone that doesn't know where the clit is. Do you know what I mean? And they don't. Let's be honest, they fucking don't.
They don't know where the glit is.
Some men our age don't even know where it fucking is. So
exactly, mate. That's very true. Right. Have we chatted enough for this, do you think?
I can't tell.
I think it's been 45 minutes. We started at 1:45.
They're probably all right then.
That's enough, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. So that brings us to the end of another week's podcast. If you want to...
Very radio DJ-esque then.
Radio DJ.
Yeah. Sometimes you do things, and I'm not even kidding, it's like looking and listening to Oliver. When you did that face earlier of you being angry, I was like, oh my God, that looks so much like Oliver.
Oh my God. He's so cute at the moment. He's got such massive hair. He looks like a Victorian urchin. I just need to put him in some rags and he could sell matches on a street corner. He looks so cute.
Well, as I said to Vic, which I've not said on the podcast, is that we had a babysitter, like an actual qualified nanny. It's actually what she is. Come over to look after the kids. And as soon as we left, the kids basically acted like two orphaned children that only know how to take care of themselves. You know, imagine rats in a test experiment when put in a high stress situation that just gather in the corner together and pray to God that one of them doesn't get taken first. That's basically how my children behaved. And then Elliot put Toby to bed. It was almost like, we don't want you to be here. We don't need you to be here. We can take care of ourselves. And so they basically took care of themselves while this very lovely, more than highly qualified person that I have spent fucking months trying to find, just sat downstairs and they looked after them.
Yeah, nice.
And they looked after themselves.
Yeah, that's good. That's all you need. That they're independent, responsible young men. Yeah. They just needed someone to be there to oversee them doing those things.
Yeah, but it was funny because I got back. So we got back late on the Saturday night. So Sunday morning, and Toby announced, I don't like it very much at all, actually. And I was like, no, I know, but that's not going to change the fact it's going to continue to happen.
I think it's good.
Mummy and Daddy, we need Mummy and Daddy time.
Yeah.
Don't you? Like, if if I don't have it, I don't massively like being with him.
I know, you really do. You just need to have the reconnection. We've got a date on Saturday because it's Rob's birthday.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, so we're going
out. Is he 42?
3.
Okay.
See, older men, hello. So we're going to go out. And then we've booked our first like external babysitter, like yours, same thing.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, not for this update. We're paying for someone, but not in a couple of weeks. We're going to go to a launch of a restaurant.
Oh.
Very la-di-da, isn't it, darling?
It is, yeah.
But we're going to pay her to come. And she is one of the lovely girls from the nursery that they used to go to. So they know
amazing.
Her.
Amazing. So you know her.
We know her. And she does babysitting for everyone around here. So, we're going to. But it does feel like a bit of a scary step to be like.
It's horrible.
Do you know what I mean? Like relinquish it from
family. I didn't know how to leave.
Or whatever. Yeah.
I was like, okay, ha ha ha. And striking up conversation over conversation with her. And I was just like, okay, like we're going to go now.
We're gonna go
and
now.
Then just one more thing. This is where the kettle is. And she was like, yeah, I can see the kettle.
See that.
And
I was like,
and just to let you know, the carpet is grey and the light's over here. I just didn't know how to. I said, Steve, before she arrived, I was like, God, it feels like we've got someone coming around for a threesome. And he went, no, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
I said, it's like my anxiety. I don't know how to speak to her. He was like, just be normal. I was like, but we both know that I don't do that.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
do normal. Oh. But it was fine. It went really well. We've got booked in loads over the coming months now because where I'm away, I'm like, where in May when I do my tour, I obviously like when I'm doing my hometown stuff, I just want Steve to be there, to be able to come along and be part of that. So, just being able to just have that bit of freedom.
I know, it's lovely,
and takes away the guilt of asking other people.
Yeah, I know. Like, yeah, I think friends, that too.
Like our friends are so fucking amazing. And obviously we're all so close. So like all of our kids know each other. Like we're all really closely connected. And they're like, just ask us. And it's like, yeah, but that just doesn't feel right. I don't feel comfortable.
And yeah.
Yeah. I'd much rather only do that if it was an absolute emergency.
Yeah. Because then it's like, you know, also just getting back and, you know, worrying about, oh God, we've been so long. If you're paying someone, you're paying someone, then that's fine. You know, it's much better, I think.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Nice little things coming up for couple time.
Couple time.
Just got to print out a face mask for him to wear of Dexter and then I'll have a great time.
I wondered what you were referring to, like the launch of the restaurant. What kind of restaurant are you going to?
Oh, so funny. Right, so this is the end.
This is the end.
If you want to send us any stories, any business, business, you know, score, you need to email us. Oh, my Lord. Rob just came up behind me then.
I did see him.
I only saw
him. Mate, he looks almost in that direction with those glasses on. He almost, I don't know, in the podcast, he looked like Jimmy Savile with brown hair.
Oh, don't. Should you look like Jimmy Savile with brown hair? No, oh, great, he said. Oh, great.
Oh, great, yeah, good. That known paedophile, wonderful.
Email us at noholesbarredpodcast@gmail.com or what else can they do? Laura.
They can head on over to our Instagram page at noholesbarredpodcast and slide on into our DMs.
And we will see you all next week.
See you next Tuesday, little fuckers.
Bye.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.